Amen. We completed a five-week series last Sunday of Knowing Jesus, and we'll start a new series next Sunday, as a matter of fact. But today I felt like we needed to kind of recap the year in some ways and kind of look where we need to be. Where do we need to do, what do we need to do on our part in order to see that God has great things in store for us for 2019? I believe his work starts with us individually first. Bleeds over to our families, and then our families affect the church. And so I want us to look at this today. Before I do, if you've probably noticed this beautiful lime green poster here. This was done, drawn, and given to us by Scott Howard. I want to thank Scott for this morning. Thank you, Scott. Thank you, Scott. Scott is certainly a witness for the Lord, and everybody who shops at Harris Teeter knows Scott, and he's a blessing. Anytime I go there, somebody's there loving on Scott and smiling and listening to him and talking to him. And Scott, thank you for your love for us as well. Amen. I want to read our focus scripture this morning found in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Then we'll pray and get into what I believe the Lord wants to speak to us today. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this: "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation." Say that, new creation. "Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Father, for what you have in store for us, Lord, today and every day of our life. God, you have something new for us. Lord, I pray that you'll give us insight today in what we're to do, what we're supposed to do, Lord, to embrace you, to call you Lord, to call you head of our household and head of our life, God, so that we may receive this new creation in our life today. Thank you, Lord. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If we were to look back over 2018, we'll see some low spots, we'll see some valleys, but we'll also see some high spots, we'll see some mountaintops. And many of you have maybe faced more high mountains than you faced valleys, and some of you have faced valleys more than you have faced the mountaintops this year. But I believe that we can face anything that we face in life, and there may be more of those in 19, but I believe we can face anything we face in life with a new vision of what's down in the Word of God, where we embrace what God is trying to do in our life, and we'll look at it the very same. Not to rejoice more in the high times than the low times. I believe that God has the power he wants to give us so that we can be new in him to face everything with the same vision, with the same quality, whether it's low or whether it's high. I believe we can do that today, and I want to share that with you. Of course, we all like new. We all like a new car, the smell of a new car. We all like new clothes. We all like new carpet. We like new things. New, it just has a different feel from old things. And it's interesting that in the verse that we just read, that he didn't say, "I will cause you to be refurbished. I'll have a refurbished creation. Or I'll have polished up or better." He didn't say any of that. He said new. A new creation. See, God has visions and goals for your life. He has visions and goals for you. And you say, "Well, it doesn't feel like it." It feels like half the time he's not even with me. He does. He created you, and he has great things in store for you. As we've read and studied, the Bible says that his ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts higher than our thoughts. So that tells us that he has visions and goals for us even bigger than your biggest dream. Even greater than your greatest imagination. God's ways are higher than our ways. The biggest that you can dream, God is bigger. And so the Bible gives us instruction if we'll apply it to our life. Many times we read it just kind of in passing, or read it for an instruction for the day, but we really don't really cause it to be part of our life so that we can grow from it. But if we'll look in Revelation chapter 21, verse 4 and 5, I want to lay a little groundwork here first. Revelation 21, 4 and 5 says, "And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away." See, this was God's initial plan for our life. And then sin entered in. So, but this was God's heart for all of us. Verse 5 says, "Then he," God who sat on the right on the throne, "said, Behold, I make all things new." I make all things new. God said that. And he said to me, write, for these words are true. Write, for these words are true and are faithful. God wants to make all things new. Nicer than the newest car, nicer than the newest house, nicer than the newest this or the newest that. He wants to make it new. Now, when God does something, he does it the best. There's nothing that we can do better than God. We can't even come close. And so when he says he's going to make all things new, he means it's going to be new. The smell of a new baby. Oh, I love these three grandchildren. And the sweetness that they just, you can just see it all over them. They're just sweet as sugar. New baby. God created that new baby, that new child. And so there are things that God wants to create in our lives, create in us, that we don't have to worry about trying to make New Year's resolutions. I forget what the percentage is, but most of the New Year's resolutions that we make after a few weeks, it's kind of like a few years ago when I took up running. I was running about 3 miles a morning, and one day I woke up and said, I've been doing this so long, I'm going to rest today. And so here we are. I'm still resting. But when we make New Year's resolutions, that's us trying to do something within our own self. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. We're going to talk about that a little bit this morning. But God wants us to know that we can change our life to where all those things that we want to do, if we change on the inside, we can see that he'll cause us to more than accomplish any New Year's resolution. And he'll cause us today to be new. We don't have to wait till January 1st. Amen. Tomorrow we can be new because we're going to see in the Word of God what God wants to do in our life. Matthew 6:10 gives us an example of Jesus' prayer when he said, your kingdom come, your will be done on where? Earth, that's here. We're actually standing on earth right now. You're sitting on earth. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So Jesus gives us the model prayer to pray. We say, well, I don't face a lot of heaven right now. I don't face all the things that he faces. Well, we can do that as we change the inside, what we believe and what we think and how we think and how we look at life today. Just as it says, we can taste a little bit of heaven right here on earth. If it wasn't so, he would not have given us the model prayer to pray. We pray that because he answers that, and he wants us to experience his goodness in our life every single day. Yes, there will be problems. Yes, there will be tribulation. Yes, there will be some difficult times that we'll face. But in and through all those things, he'll cause it all to work together for your good. Do you believe that? And so he's instructing us in this to pray God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So the good news is Jesus will make all things new. God will make all things new, our Creator, the Creator of heaven and earth. He will cause all things to be made new. But the key here that we've read in 2 Corinthians, the key here is to be in Christ. See, that's an important part. That's an important part, to be in Christ. We can be in anywhere. We can be involved in this or be involved in that club or that organization or this or that and do different things. But if we're not in Christ, then we're not experiencing the new creation that God wants us to experience. It says we can experience that new creation as we are in Christ. And that in Christ is up to you to decide. The in Christ is up to me to decide. It's really a decision that we choose, just like you chose to come here this morning to worship God and to honor God and to be with God's people. You chose to do that. It's a decision that we are to be in Christ. God doesn't come and force himself on us and say, you're going to be in me, you're going to serve me, you're going to honor me, you're going to worship me. He doesn't demand that we do that. He gave us all a free will. And so our decisions many times is what has caused some of the things that we faced in 2018. Our decisions will be some of the things that we face in 2019. But if we are in Christ and we choose to be in Christ, you can face anything you face this coming year through Christ. And it says he will cause you to be a new creation. And everything that you face and everything that you do, no matter what you're dragging into today or tomorrow or to January 1st, God will cause those things to be new in him as we choose to be in Christ. It's in Christ. If we look at that, 2 Corinthians 5:17 again, therefore, if anyone in Christ, he's a new creation. That's also translated as brand new person inside. We say, well, how about the outside? How about that facelift? Or how about that tuck here, tuck there? What? He's not concerned about the outside like he's concerned about the inside. See, the new creation begins inside. It's translated, what we just read there, it's translated brand new person inside. Goes on to say that the old things, those wrinkles, those past, the mistakes, all those things that you're concerned about today, they've passed away. Behold, all things, say all things, all things. There's nothing exempt here. I found that, I mean, if you look at my wife, and I'm not going to tell you how old she is, she looks 25 years old. Why? Because she's in Christ. When you're in Christ, you look younger. Amen. It's true. That's the reason guys go to churches to find pretty girls. Guys are shaking their head, yeah. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become what? New. A new life has begun. It all begins in Christ. Now, there was a poll taken several years ago, and this poll was polling people to find out who was Christians. And this poll says that 78% of people polled claim to be a Christian. 78%. This is in the United States. But out of that 78%, only 7% of those people believe their lives have changed after becoming a Christian. Can you believe it? 7% of that 78% who claim to be Christians, 7% say that their lives have changed. I wonder why. Maybe it's because they've professed something, but they're not in Christ. When you become in Christ, when you link up your life to what he wants to do in your life, he will cause all things to become new. And so it's the in Christ. It's the in Christ that we need to change. We need to change on the inside and let God take care of the outside. If we concentrate on getting him in here, he's going to affect every other part of our being. Amen? And so he does everything well. It was said that instead of turning over a new leaf, let's turn over a new life. Instead of worrying about the actions of me doing this and this and this better and trying to be better about doing this thing, rather than doing that, God, come change my life. Make me new. Make my thought pattern new. Make my perception new. Make my reaction to things and to people new. And by doing that, that will change your life. We're concerned about habits. God, I want to do this better. I want to do that better. I want to have better habits. Well, I have found that if I dedicate my life to Jesus Christ every single day, see, it's not just a one-time profession. Mine is at least once a day. I don't know about you, but I say, God, I need you today. Before my feet hit the floor, God, I need you. So that as he comes into my life, he affects my habits. He affects my routine. When I need time management, when I need to find things to do, I need to squeeze things into my day, I need to find time to do certain things, when I give my time to him, he always creates a way. You heard me talk a few weeks ago. We were headed to Jacksonville on a Friday, and we were actually already in Jacksonville when we had a call and said that a dear friend of ours was on the way to the hospital at Mayo in Jacksonville and was asking for us to pray. They had no idea that we were pulling into Jacksonville just 10 minutes from Mayo at that very moment. So we were able to go right there, straight there, and pray for the family. Now, we had other things in mind, but that morning as we prayed, God, show us today what you want to have us do. We were thrilled to put aside the things that we thought we were there to do the things that God had us there to do. And that was there to stand with that family and pray, and we're continuing to pray for this family. But it's only in times like that that we can, that even in our eating, God, help me to eat better. To put that biscuit down, to put that sweet syrup down, that banana pudding down and all those pound cake and things that other people like. Help me to put that thing down. But I should say, God, change me on the inside to where when I look at that thing, that's good and I'll take a bite, but I don't gear my life around Bluebell ice cream anymore. Amen. So do we change on the outside or do we change on the inside? Let me tell you, our best physical life is found when we concentrate on our spiritual life. So we want to have a better life. We want to have everything that God has for us in 2019, which I'm telling you, it's going to be off the chain. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be great. To do that, we've got to concentrate more on our spiritual life. Focus more on our spiritual being that man can't see, and then watch God change us on our outside and cause us to be all that we can be, all that he's in, all that he's created us to be. So we can improve the old or we can become new. I don't want to improve the old. I want to be brand new. If we could just be born all over again as a sweet little 6-pound baby, well, God wants us to do that on the spiritual level. He said a new creation. He doesn't mean for us to die and to come again and have 9 lives. That's not his plan. We've got one life, and as I'm standing here today, 52 years old, he can cause me to have a new life. I've got a deteriorating heart of a 90-year-old man, found that out when I was 18 years old, have a pacemaker, defibrillator, but God said that he'll make all those things become new. That's how I can do all that I do. And the doctors are still blown away because my heart still on the screen shows that that's a bad heart right there. How are you doing what you're doing? And I said, praise God. He says, okay, leave and keep doing whatever you're doing. And so God means literally that he can cause all things to become new. Even your heart. Even those knees. Even those legs. Even those feet. Every part of your being, he can cause it all to become new. Hebrews chapter 10. There are some points that I want to pull out of this. Hebrews 10 verses 16 to 18. We'll begin reading here. I'm going to give you 4 points out of this passage. It says in Hebrews 10, 16, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts. Catch that. Put my laws into their hearts and in their minds. So he's talking about our spirit being, our heart and our mind. I will write them. See, many times we want to go through a set of rules. If I do this, if I do that, if I do the other, then I'm a good person. And if I'm a good person, maybe God is pleased with me. We base our salvation on what we do and what we don't do rather than giving God our heart. But he says, then he adds in verse 17 of Hebrews 10, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Isn't that awesome? Now where there is remission of these, there is no longer an offering for sin. So how can this happen? How is this possible? What I've just read here. Verse 19 of Hebrews 10, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, say that, new and living way, which he, speaking of God, consecrated for us. It was all done for us through the veil, that is, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, here's the first point, let us draw near. Draw near. Like I said, we just came out of a 5-week series talking about knowing Jesus, and really, if we had to put all those 5 weeks into one sentence, one phrase, it would be draw near to God. As we know God, we draw near to God. Draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Getting close to God. That's our first instruction to have a new life. How can we have new life? How can we experience all that God's got for us? Well, the first thing here we see is to get closer to God. So those habits that you want changed, the time management that you need desperately need more of, the eating habits that we need to look at, but setting up a budget, finances, that's all in the Word of God. What's the first thing to do to enjoy those things and to experience the fullness and the newness of God? Draw close to Him. Now, why do you want to draw close to Him? Because He has all the answers. There is not one answer that God doesn't have for your life. You say, well, how can He? He's old. He's lived all these years. How can He know the answer to my life? Because He created you. He knows you better than you know you. He knows me better than I know me. And so He's got all the answers. So we draw close to Him. If there's one person in this world that you think is wise and they have great answers, they've been successful, they've done this and they've done that, and man, you would give anything if you could spend a little time with him and learn from them. Well, you do. The person that's given them their success is God Almighty. And so we can get close to Him. We don't have to buy a ticket. We don't have to fly anywhere. We don't have to wait in line. He's right there. I mean, isn't that awesome? He's always there. And the second thing we see in verse 23 here says, let us hold fast. Hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. That's holding fast the instruction and promises of God. You say, well, the promises are okay, but the instruction I have a problem with. Most times we do, because we want the benefit of the garden and not have to have the time to maintain it. But did you know that for every promise God has, he also has an instruction to the promise? Those who believe on Jesus Christ shall be saved. See, we'll be saved, but what do we have to do? We've got to believe. There's an instruction for every promise. And so the promise here is to have a new life, but the instruction is to draw close to God, and secondly, to hold fast. Hold fast to the instruction, hold fast to the promise. Now, I spent a lot of time with different people one-on-one time and kind of mentoring them and teaching the Word of God kind of on their, you know, wherever they are right now in life. And I've found that it's much more difficult to get them to follow through to be consistent on the instruction part than it is to enjoy the benefit and the fruit part. I mean, that's the fun part. Can't we just go straight to that? But that's not... There's a price to be paid. God's going to do his part, as I said a while ago, but God wants us to do our part, and then he brings the promise. He's faithful to bring the promise, but we've got to be faithful to do what he's called us to do. Why? Because there's a growing and there's a maturing process that comes that can't come if he said, here's your silver platter, what else can I get for you? What have we learned out of that? I'd be a spoiled brat if I clicked my finger and God had it right there, here you go. What else do you want? What would I learn out of that? I'd learn to be lazy, fat, and sassy. Thank you, baby, for not saying anything. So we've got to hold fast to the instruction of the promise of God. Keep them in our heart. Our heart. Not just in our thought process, but in our heart. Where we live out of. What's my automatic reaction? When I face a certain situation, what's my first thought? What's my first reaction? That'd be a good test for us. You think of something in our life that may happen, and we don't know really, but if we were to face a test of some sort in our life, what is our automatic go-to? Is it to go to God, or is it to blame God? Is it to draw close to him, or push him further away? What's our go-to? So we hold fast, says, hold fast, the second point, the confession of our hope without wavering. That's being consistent. Amen? Being consistent. For he who promised is faithful. This just isn't a how-to book and to tell you what you should do. This is a book that shows us what Jesus will do as we follow his instruction. Aren't you glad? And yet, in verse 24, and let us, number three, consider one another. So we're talking about becoming new. We're talking about living in the newness of God every single day of our life, every moment. Draw close, hold fast to him, and consider one another. Consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. That means you've got to love people like Jesus loves people. That means that we've got to look through the eyes of God at some people that are unlovable. There are a few of those. Nowhere around here, but there are a few of those in the world. And so we've got to learn that when we get in their presence, not to try to avoid them, but to try to show the love of God. Amen. Sometimes the best thing for me to do is not to say anything, just to smile, shake hand, and let the love of God come through. Amen. Help others. Help others that maybe don't know Jesus Christ. Impact others for Jesus. And sometimes we need Jesus to show us what to do. See, we can miss all this by just being self-absorbed. We can be so consumed with what's going on in my life that we don't even see people that don't know Jesus all around us. We can become so narrow-minded and so nearsighted that we don't even see things around us. That's why it's such an important point that he's making here, that we need to impact others for Jesus Christ. That means that we need to do something to reach out beyond our walls, not to just say we're going to come together on Sunday, but I'm going to be at the house from Monday to Saturday. I'm not going to see anybody. That's not the mindset of Jesus. Amen? There's something that we can do to help somebody and to show that we're concerned for their good being. The final instruction here in Hebrews verse 25 says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. That's That's not trying to find any excuse and every excuse that we can stay home. Now, I'm preaching, of course, to the dedicated and to the people that love Jesus. That's why you're here today and wrapping up 2018 in the house of God. But there are some that aren't real faithful in attendance because if something comes up, it's a good excuse not to be at church. Now, they'll be at work 8 o'clock Monday morning, but they can't quite muster up to be at church on Sunday. They can give offerings to the world to do this, but they can't quite muster up to give offerings to God. I know I'm meddling a little bit, but assembling ourselves together, that's important, that we be so serious about this new life, this new creation in God, that we want to assemble ourselves together. And what does that mean? That means that we're helping one another. Because you're here, you're helping me. Because I'm here, I hope I'm helping you. So we learn to grow together. We come together and we learn from one another. We encourage one another. The small group, Elder Roth and Miss Edith's house on Wednesday night, that'll start back in a couple of weeks. On Wednesday, just 5 minutes from the church here. And so that's a time where you can come together and be encouraged. At the end, have coffee and a little dessert and just talk and just encourage one another. The men's Bible study that we have on the second Saturday of the month with Brother Robert in Brunswick, that's the time where we come together. The Monday mornings that I'll be starting, 7 to 8 o'clock, that's the time that we come together. The ladies' brunch. So we come together. So it's don't forsake. I mean, it's so important that it's in the Word of God. That's one of the points that we've got to take into account if we want to be a new creation. And so much, it says in verse 25, the more as you see the day approaching. That's a capital D because every single day that we live, we're one day closer to the coming of the Lord. And so we're all given a certain number of days on this earth. Why? Why are we given a certain number of days on this earth? Just to see what it's like before we go to heaven? No, there's a work that he wants us to do. Think of it as Noah building the ark. God has said, okay, I'm coming back. He's building this ark. He said, you've got a certain number of days. I'm not going to tell you when I'm coming back. You know, and there's probably a purpose for that too. He's not telling us when he's coming back. He just says, be ready so when I come back, you're ready. And everybody that you can get gathered up. And those that are ready will be taken up, and those that are not will be left. And so that day is approaching. It refers to it here in Hebrews. And that is the reason it goes into contact with assembling ourselves together so that we can be much more prepared for the day approaching, capital D. So these are important to connect, to assemble. Draw near, hold fast, help others, assemble and connect together, and we will come a new creation in him. So guess what? If we're not experiencing the new life of Christ, it's not his fault. He's given us the promise, but he's given us the instruction. So today you have the key that you can apply to your life, make the decision for your life, and I can make the decision for my life, that we can apply these simple principles found in the Word of God. You see, it's not complicated. We can apply these in our life so that we can adapt these and know that there's something more that God wants to do in our life. So I'm going to turn these around in the form of a question so that you can ask yourself. I'm not going to ask you. You can ask yourself, number one, am I drawing close to God? Am I daily drawing close to God? John 4:23 says, but the hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. See, our worship is not our reaction to the music on Sunday morning. I mean, that's great. But that comes out of a lifestyle of worship. What is my worship like for the rest of this week? All the way through next Sunday morning early. What is my life? Is my life a lifestyle of worship? Am I truly worshiping God through all those things? Or do I just wait till Sunday morning just to find out what song we're singing so I know whether to raise my hands or not, or whether to sit down, or whether to react, whether to cry, or whether to smile? No, that part of worship is a response or comes out of my lifestyle of worship Monday through Saturday. And so as I learn to worship God, that's a sign that I'm drawing close to him. What is my life like? Sunday is important. Sunday is important that we come together and we worship God. Yes, we're assembling ourselves together. But true worshipers make it a lifestyle of worship to where every single day, whatever I'm facing, God, I want to worship you. I want my heart to be connected to you. I decide in my mind that I'm going to respond in everything I face the way that you would respond. I'm going to listen to your voice, listen to your instruction, and worship you through all the things that I face. That's drawing near to God. The second thing is to hold hold fast to God each day. Am I holding to God daily? Am I holding to his promises? Am I holding to his instruction? Joshua 1:8 says, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate." How do you meditate? It's with your mind. It's what you mull over. See, many times when we're not talking, we're meditating, we're thinking about something. We'll be going down the highway and Crystal will say, "What are you thinking about?" She knows that I'm contemplating. She knows that I'm meditating on something. I'm trying to figure something out, or I'm thinking about something. So it's important. It says, don't let it depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it when? Day and night. That you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. You say, well, that's just too much for me to do. Day and night? Meditate on the Word of God? See, think of it this way. It's the operating system of everything else you do. See, we can't download an app for you computer gurus. You can't download an app or a program unless you have an operating system first. The operating system is actually the nuts and bolts behind what runs that app. So with that being said, everything that we do in life, our work, our pleasure, our fun, our hobbies, thank God for hobbies that we can get out and have fun in. So all these things can be done, fishing, whatever you want to do. All of these things can be done if it's done out of the foundation of knowing who God is, meditating on him day and night. See, when we do that, when we're out and about and in the community and we're possibly running into somebody that doesn't know Jesus Christ, if we're operating out of that system, then sometimes we'll say things that means life to them that we don't even know that we said. Why did I say that? Why did I ask about their mom? Why did I ask about what's going on in their life? Why? Because you were prompted, because that operating system in you caused you to say the thing you didn't know what you were saying, but it meant life and encouragement to the one listening. We'll never know those until we get to heaven and we're shown on the big screen those incidents that happened. But believe me, it happens every single day of your life. There are opportunities that some you see and some you don't, that you're impacting somebody's life. It says, meditate day and night that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous. Now we're getting somewhere, right? Make your way prosperous, and it goes on to say, and then you will have good success. Who wants to be prosperous and in good success? Amen. That's 100% of you right there. I saw your heart, those that work, raise your hand. You really want it. But unless we're doing what God's called us to do, we're not actually receiving all the prosperity and all the good success that he wants us to have. Even if you've achieved everything in your life that you wanted to achieve, if we operate in his meditating and not letting his word depart from our lips, there's even greater prosperity and success that he has for us. He has it right here. Don't depart from God's word and meditate on his promises day and night. Psalm 119:105 says that his word is a lamp to our feet. That's how literal it is. He's a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. It shows us the way to go. Number three, am I helping others faithfully? Am I doing what I can to help others? Or am I so consumed with my own situations that I don't even notice anybody being around me? Yes, I'm in the community, but I don't really see anybody. I don't talk to anybody. I don't interact with anybody. There's something that God has put in you. There's a special talent. There's an ability that God has put in you to help others. I knew this guy, this young man, a long time ago, and he was incredible at some of the stories he would tell. He was a businessman in the community, and anytime I had lunch with him, he would tell these stories, and it's like, man, you should be preaching. You are good. I mean, and it just rolled off his mouth. He'd be eating a thing from Chinese restaurant with one hand and be talking, egg roll. and it was just flowing out of him, and it was amazing. But each one of you have a special ability and a special talent that God wants to use to touch other people. There's something unique in your life that God wants to help you to help somebody else. Did you know that there's an ability in you that we need in this church? That unless you're actively involved, we're not enjoying you being part of it. There are things that we could be doing as a church, even greater things. I'd love for us to have a weekly Bible study over at the Magnolia Manor. We've just started one on Sunday afternoon, third Sunday of each month, here at Marsh's Edge from 4:30 to 5 o'clock. So I'm looking forward to that. But there's actually a sandwich ministry that we could do once a month on a Saturday to make sandwiches and take to the community. There are things that we can do. We just need you more connected to get it done. There are things that I want us to do to be more involved and to make sure that we're doing all that we could do. We send gifts to Haiti every year. There are great things that we do that we're all connected to, but how much more could we do for the kingdom of God to impact this community around us? 1 Peter 4:10 says, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And the last thing, assembling and connecting regularly. Am I assembling, connecting regularly? Or am I more busy on trying to concentrate on doing other things to where I don't have to do that? We need you here. I miss when I'm not here. I try to find an excuse that I don't have to miss Sunday. I have missionaries all the time, and I think you know earlier last year I was supposed to be in Cuba, had already had the trip paid for, and I just had to check my spirit, and I said, we're praying for you guys that go. A bunch of ministers going to teach and to preach. Not that that wasn't important. It was important. But I didn't want to miss here on a Sunday. I'm looking for excuses why I can stay home instead of be away. To assemble ourselves together. James 5:16 says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another. Now look at this. That you may be healed. So we can actually receive healing from one another as we pray. Now, people that come to me, I say, listen, what you tell me, you tell me what you want to tell me, but what you tell me stays right here. So we need to be careful who we tell our business to. But, you know, be careful, be wise. It's not that, you know, if you want it on television or on the billboard, we can make that happen too. But we go to one another, and it says pray for one another that we may be healed. There's power in coming together, isn't there? The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. The assembling together so that we may be healed and a blessing to one another. You're a blessing to me. You're a blessing to me. I wouldn't trade it for anything in the world. That we come together, we worship God, that we do the work that God's called us to do. And so do we want to be new? Do you want to be new? Do you want to experience the new creation of God today? He says that if we are found in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:17, anyone in Christ, that's the key. That's the key to being Christ. He is a new creation. A new creation. Old things have passed away. Even those things that you regret, oh my goodness, if I could go back and redo it and didn't have to worry about those things being done, that's just holding me back. Listen, God's not concerned about your past. See, in the Old Testament, there had to be an animal that was sacrificed to cover my sin. It didn't eliminate my sin. It just covered it. I killed the animal, and so now my sin was covered. Yeah. I'd rather have it eliminated. So when Jesus came, he said, listen, I'm going to be the lamb that dies once and for all. So when I die and shed my blood, you are forgiven of all of your sins. And so all we have to do is believe on him. And so as we do that, as we believe on him and we make him in our life, then all those things that we wish we had never, we've all done some things that we regret. Sorry to say some dumb things. I'm just talking for myself. We've all done some dumb things, things that we wish we hadn't done. But he will cause those things that we regret and we say, God, if that just wasn't a part of my life, I feel like I'd go forward. And we think about those things every day. And see, a lot of times we allow those things in our life to hold us back because we regret it so much. When Jesus said, I've already died for that. I didn't only cover it, but I eliminated it. That's why he can make us new. All those things that are holding us back, those chains from the past, that's not from God. See, God doesn't want you held back by your past. He wants to free you from your past. He wants to call those things that are holding you back to make them where they push you forward to do all that he's done. You know what? I have found out in my young life, I have found out those mistakes that I made, God actually helps me use them and utilize them to minister to other people. My greatest hurt, God has caused to be a blessing to somebody else. So it's time that we release those things. Say, God, as bad as I hate that, I'm going to cause myself to make a choice to be in Christ today so that you can cause those things from my past to help me, to push me to be a blessing to those around me. God can cause good to come out of anything. And he's the only one who can. Aren't you glad? Let's stand together. Let's bow our heads together. Father, thank you. Thank you for your word. Lord, my heart is for every single person that hears my voice. My heart, Lord, is that you will cause us to be in you. And as we are in you, we are a new creation. And we can do all things through you, Lord Jesus, who gives us strength. Lord, I pray that today those things that have been holding back, those chains that have been from the past, we can make excuses and we can say, well, if this didn't happen or that didn't happen, or if this person wasn't upset with me, or if I didn't do this person, God, we can come up with some good excuses. But Lord, today I hear, Lord, through what you've given me to say today, God, there are some here today that needs this word to set them free. And it's your word, Father. It's your word that causes us to be free. As we stand here this morning, I want to ask Jordan and Josh to do this song. We're just going to be here for a few moments. And as they sing, if you feel like you just need to take a step of faith and to come forward and just stand here, I'm not going to come pray for you, lay hands on you. It's a matter of you taking that step of faith. And it's symbolic to God. You're saying, God, here am I. I'm stepping out. I'm stepping out of my comfort zone so that you can do in my life what you want to do. So while she sings that, if that's you this morning, come stand here at the front and we'll say a prayer and a prayer of blessing before we dismiss this morning.